This year is called Menashe and Gedeon. It's kind of like two different shears that are loosely related. Okay, more like two separate ideas. But they're connected a little bit. So the first one we'll take up is Menashe. Okay, so it's in Parshas Vayechi. We'll start with the psukim of where Yosef presents Menashe and Ephraim to Yaakov. And Yaakov switches his hands, puts his right hand on Ephraim and left hand on Menashe. And Yosef is not happy. Okay, so it's Perek Memches, Pasuk Yud Zayin, right? Vayar Yosef ki Yashis Aviv Yad Yimino Rosh Ephraim Vayar Beinav. So he sees that Yaakov is putting his right hand on Ephraim, and it's Vayar Beinav. It was upsetting to him. He didn't like it. Vayismach Yad Aviv Lahasio Samea Rosh Ephraim Arosh Menashe. He wanted a support. He wanted to basically remove it and put and switch Yaakov's hands back the other way. It's after the bracha that Yaakov gave the bracha. Vayom Yosef el aviv lochein avi ki zeh bechor simin charosho. No, Menashe is the bechor. Put your right hand, on his head. Vayom ein aviv, so Yaakov refuses. Vayom yadati v'ni yadati, I know my son, I know. Gam hu yel am v'gam hu yigdal, he's also going to be a nation, he's also going to be great. V'ulam, however, achiv hakaton, his younger brother, yigdal mimenu, he's going to be greater than him. Ephraim will be greater than Menashe, and his offspring will fill the Malagayim, the whole world. And Yaakov blessed them, saying, through you, Klaiso will bless. Should become like Ephraim, like Menashe. But Yasim is a friend of named Menashe, and he placed on Yaakov, even in this phrase, he put a friend before Menashe. Okay, so you have this conflict to some degree of Yosef wants Yaakov to put the right hand on Menashe, the Bechor. Okay, and he's not happy that Yaakov does it the other way. And Yaakov says, no, I realize I'm making a mistake. It's not that I can't see properly, whatever it is, but, right, but rather, he's saying Ephraim is going to be greater than Menashe. So let's look at Rashi in Pasuk Yates. He says, Yadati bin Yadati, Shehu Bechor. I realize Menashe is the Bechor. Gam hu yelam v'yigdal sh'asid Gidon lotzis menu she'kash barcha osenese yado. Because Gidon is going to come from Menashe. Gidon is one of the shoftim. That's the second half of this year. And Akash Baruch is going to do a miracle through Gidon. And that's the miracle of when Gidon destroyed Fort Midian. With 300 people, Gidon had, and he destroyed 135,000 people in Midian. Okay, through the miracle, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to do it. He kept saying, make it less. And they used the fire and the foxes or something, and they scared them, and there's the dream there. There's a whole story there in Shoftim. Maybe it's Perek Zion or Perek.
Gidon was he was the one who was skeptical about him being a Shoftim, right?
He wanted the dew to come down on the Giza, right, and around it twice. Yeah. Correct. So he was certain level. He communicated either the Malach Pinchas went to him or a Malach. It's not clear. It seems like certainly he had Ruach. He had Ruach HaKodesh, he had God's assistance, and the miracle of defeating Midian, saving Klal Yisrael from Midian. And we'll go into the story a little bit. He was on a high level, but ulam achiv hakatan yigdal menu, Ephraim's offspring will be greater. Who's Ephraim's offspring? She also Yeshua latzis menu. Yeshua is going to come from Ephraim. She yancha saaretz v'yilma to Yisrael. There's going to be they give the Eretz Yisrael to Klal Yisrael, the Nachala, and he'll teach Torah to Klal Yisrael, right? Moshe Beinu and then Yeshua. So, it's a little bit unfair to compare Gidon to Yehoshua. It's hard to compare anybody to Yehoshua. But, in terms of if you have to do it, you have to compare the great people that came from Menashe versus Ephraim. Ephraim certainly wins out. Because Yeshua... Yeah, go ahead.
Why are we looking at the descendants and all as opposed to just Ephraim and Menashe themselves?
It seems like these brachos are very much tied to Asidus, the future. And, it's of course, the perfection of Ephraim and Menashe matters, but... The framework in which it matters is in terms of being a progenitor of a nation and of great people that come from them. So it's not in terms of them now, it's in terms of them and their ability to, as the founding members of Shvatim, of Klal Yisrael. And that framework, you look to the great people they produced, and, you know, and that's a way of measuring them. It's a framework of measuring them, the great people. You know, I guess in theory you could also compare the overall perfection of the Shvatim, but that's a little bit harder. Maybe that's also true, but certainly not as easy to quantify. What's easier is to compare Yeshua to Gideon. It's a little bit easier to... It's a framework which is a legitimate framework to compare them, and that's certainly a little bit easier. Maybe the comparison extends even further to the overall level of perfection of the two Shvatim, possibly. But definitely the whole framework of where you're looking at them in terms of the brachos of Yaakov is in terms of the future. What they're going to do, right? What's going to come from them. So the brachos are through Ruach HaKodesh and deal with the Achras HaYamim. That's the whole framework of the brachos.
And is it taken as given that these individuals are the best representations?
Yeah.
Of whatever qualities they have?
Of Menashe and Ephraim? Right. Yeah. Yeshua, certainly. I guess Gideon, yeah, he's the greatest person to come from Menashe.
Okay.
You see, like, for example, Shimshon is Dan, and David is Yehuda, plus Mashiach. Melech Mashiach from David is from Yehuda. Who else do you have? You have a devote or whatever. See, I mean, that's certainly a major theme in the brachos. In both Yaakov's brachos, I think also Moshe Ben's brachos. It's always the great people that come from them. And what they do and the Kiddush Hashem that they bring about and the Nisim and the Mochamos and the Yeshua's Klal Yisrael. Okay. The question is, maybe...
Tribes don't have anybody.
Some tribes don't have anybody, yeah. Yeshimon doesn't have anybody.
Isn't there, she said, all the Shoftim came from one of the tribes.
Is that possible? How could that be?
Yeah, the 12 Shoftim and only some of them know where they came from.
Oh, really? Yeah. I mean, look, Shimshon came from Dan and Gideon came from Menashe.
No, they...
The ones that we don't know about, you're saying?
Yeah.
Oh. They all came from Levi? I don't know. Okay.
Obviously.
I would think they all came from Levi, then. Or Yehuda. Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not familiar with that. Okay, so the question is a simple question.
Shmuel's father was a Levi.
Shmuel was a Levi, yeah.
And Shmuel was a Levi.
Yeah.
Elkanah.
Yeah. Correct. But he wasn't a shofet.
He wasn't?
No. He was a Navi.
He was a Navi?
Yeah, yeah. Ramban says that. He was a Navi. He was
from Hosea?
Levi.
Yeah.
He was the beginning of the era of kings. He's not a shofet. Okay. So, yeah. So the simple question is, Ephraim is greater than Menashe. Okay. Why was Ephraim greater than Menashe?
Wasn't he
Oh, very good. Okay, and Menashe?
He's a worker.
Very good.
Interpreter.
Okay, good. That's what I'm saying. Okay, just a little bit more than that, though. Just one more twist on that. Okay, so let's take a look at two of the Rashis. So the Rashi in Perek Mem Beis, Pasuk Chaf Gimel. It's like this. Right, that's the by Miketz. That's what Rashi says. Rashi is meant, Howie. So the brothers and Yosef didn't realize because the interpreter was between them. And who was the interpreter between Yosef and the brothers? And Parshas Miketz. So Rashi says, Menashe b'no. Says Menashe's son. Okay. Then later on, so Rashi doesn't quote this, but there's Midrashim in Tanchuma and Bereishis Rabba about when Yosef commands the one who's Asher al Beiso. Multiple times. One is to put the money, return the money. So not to return the money. When they come to bring them to the house, and to make the party for them, when they come back with Binyamin, Ashel Beso, and he commands Ashel Beso to put the cup in Binyamin's sack. So the multiple midrashim, they say that that's Menashe. Okay. So Menashe is basically, he's Yosef's Bechor. Yosef, you see, Vayir Be'inav, Yosef is upset when Yaakov puts the right hand on Ephraim. He favors his Bechor. And Yosef, and Menashe stays, helps out Yosef. He help runs his household. He takes care of things. He's the one who functions as the translator. He's the Yosef's right-hand man. This is Menashe, the older one, his Bechor. Yeah.
But shouldn't have Yosef known that because Ephraim was more of a Steiger? You know, he should have, you know, been more worthy of the bracha.
Hold on. Ask me at the end, okay? That's a good question. But, you know, it could be his love for his son blinded him. Yeah, a bechor. A father's love for his bechor is reishis ono. Father has a certain kiruv das to his bechor that he doesn't have to his other children. So, not to what Reuven did. You know what I mean? Who knows if Reuven hadn't sinned, what would have happened? But Reuven kind of messed that one up, right?
Well, Yosef was also a bechor.
Yosef was also a bechor, right? To the one ben ha-bechor ben ha-snua, right? Reuven was the bechor ha-snua, and Yaakov, Yosef was the bechor ben ha-ahuva. He loved Rachel, hated Leah, right? Okay, that's true. Good point, Ali. Very good point. Okay, then in Memches Aleph, right? Vayhi in Vayechi, Vayhi Acharei Dvar Me'ila, right after Yaakov and Yosef, they have their conversation of bearing Yaakov Mitzrayim. Vayomer Yosef in Avicha Chola. Sorry, pasuk. Oops, wrong pasuk. Sorry. Now, what am I looking for? That's right. It's Vayomer Yosef. Pasuk Al. Vayomer Yosef in Avicha Chola. So Rashi says Echem and Magidim. Okay. So somebody told him V'yeshomer. And who? There's another position Rashi brings down. Ephraim ha'yeragil if ne'yakov b'talmud. So Ephraim was ragil, constantly in general, before Yaakov learning. U'kishechala Yaakov be'eretz Goshen. When Yaakov got sick, halach Ephraim etzel aviv Mitzrayim le'hagid lo. So he went to his father Mitzrayim to teach him. Okay. So Ephraim was the one who was learning by Yaakov, right, in Goshen. And Menashe is the one helping out Yosef in Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is the big city, capital city. And Goshen is a land close to, you know, not that far, but I mean, it's close. It's not in the big city. And Ephraim is with Yosef. Sorry, Menashe is with Yosef, helping out Yosef, running his household, involved in the politics, involved in running the country, and learning after from him. And Yosef is a big tzaddik, a very smart person. But Ephraim was learning by Yaakov, learning Torah by Yaakov for 17 years, right, from Yaakov age 130 to 147. Ragil b'talmud. Okay. So we see a difference between the two is that one's involved in practical matters and one's involved in Shtaging Torah, as Ariel says. Right? Very good.
And how does he understand Ches, Pasuk Ches?
Pasuk Ches? Mem Ches Ches?
Yeah.
Mem Ches Ches. V'yayishal b'nei Yosef v'yam. Oh, it's a different problem. Rashi explains that. Right? Because he saw that the Ruach HaKodesh left him.
Because of dead people?
Yeah. It's different. I mean, Rashi, right? Rashi explains that. But yeah, obviously you can't take that literally, because Yaakov certainly knew.
His, right.
Yeah, I mean, 17 years he was there, he knew them. Right. One question is, why does Rashi, when he says Menashe, when Rashi brings down Menashe was the interpreter, he just says it's Tam. When he brings down Ephraim is the one who told Yosef, Shal Yeragil if Ne'yakov Talmud, he brings it down B'Shem Yesh Omrim. As a Yeshomer. The Rashi has two positions. Right? So why does he have right, a Yeshomer by Ephraim and not by Menashe?
Wait. Can I say that one more time?
When he brings down Ephraim as Ragil to learn Torah by Yaakov, he brings it down as a Yeshomer.
Okay.
He has another position. It's just a random person.
Uh-huh.
But when he brings down Menashe, he just brings it down Stam. He doesn't say Yeshomer, Shu Menashe.
And they're both Tanchuma?
The source of it?
Yeah. I mean, Yeshomer...
Yeah, it's a Tanchuma.
Menashe is one.
The Tanchuma has Menashe also. I don't know if that's the particular one. We don't understand the question.
No.
Why does Rashi bring it down to Yeshomrim? He should just bring it down. That's Ephraim. It's unusual. Rashi brings down the position, what he holds. He doesn't usually bring down a Yeshomrim. So why doesn't he just say, this is Ephraim? He doesn't say, some say it's a random. Who's the interpreter? Right? In Perek Mem Beis. Right? Who's the interpreter? I don't know, some random guy. V'yesh omrim shu Menashe. No, Rashi doesn't say that. He just says it's Menashe. So Rashi is certain it's Menashe, but in terms of Ephraim, he's unsure. Right?
Oh, he's unsure that he's the one who came to tell Yosef, but he's not unsure that he learned Torah by Yaakov. Or is he?
I mean, how do you know? If you're not from this Rashi, where else do you get the idea that Ephraim was more ragil etzel Yaakov to learn Torah than Menashe? Maybe Ephraim and Menashe both stayed with Yosef.
So maybe this was Menashe.
Right here, Rashi doesn't bring down that possibility. That's not possible. Menashe, we know, was with Yosef. We know that. That's the thing. That's the point. One of the points I want to get across here. Menashe pashes, but he's the Bechor. Yosef definitely entrusted him. He keeps his Bechor. We see how Yosef Vayir Be'enav. Menashe is definitely staying with Yosef. Ephraim, there's two possibilities. Ephraim also maybe stayed with Yosef, or Ephraim stayed with Yaakov. Those are the two possibilities. Okay.
And Rosh is not sure if he stayed with Yaakov.
There's two possibilities. I don't want to say unsure. There's two possible interpretations. What is the machlokes, so to speak, whether that's Ephraim or not? What are the two possibilities in the Rashi? Right?
Okay.
Okay. Not the biggest question. Okay. Okay. So, I say like this, is that there's two possible reasons why Ephraim is greater than Menashe. Okay. So one is, like the Yeshomrim, okay, we'll get into that just a little bit more in a second, but one possibility is the first position. It's just, why is Ephraim greater than Menashe? He just was. He was more, there's Bechira, there's free will. Ephraim and Menashe, there's no guarantee who's going to be greater, just because one's older, one's not. And Yaakov was able to realize, by his interaction with both of them, that one was greater. And the very question that I asked is, why is Ephraim greater than Menashe? You can't ask that question. Because just some people are greater than others, and they have free will, and maybe they have certain God-given talents. And the facts of the matter is that just Ephraim was greater than Menashe. Yaakov perceived that. He recognized it through Ruach HaKodesh, through his interaction with the boys. However, he realized, and you can't always, there's something, such a thing as just, you know, factors outside of not based on the environment, but just an intrinsic abilities or intrinsic free choice that the two boys had, and that made them go in different directions. And then, in which case, you don't attribute Ephraim and Menashe at the same potential, environment open to them, but just Ephraim excelled and Menashe didn't. Okay, that's one framework. The other framework you could say, and that's certainly one. It's not really machlokin. I'm saying that's one legitimate avenue. You certainly could explain it that way. Okay, but there's another way you can explain, and that's the Yeshomer, is that Ephraim was in a unique position. Okay, he learned Torah by Yaakov. Okay. So I just want to add one point to this, and we'll move on to Gidon. Is that it's not just Ephraim was learning Torah and Menashe is involved in politics. Okay? I don't think it's that simple. I think you have to realize Ephraim learning Torah from Yaakov, it was a special thing. Okay? Ephraim for 17 years learned Torah by Yaakov. Yosef, before he was taken and sold, learned Torah by Yaakov for 17 years also. Right? Yosef was 17 years old when he was sold. Right? So far, so good?
Well, not 17 years, but okay.
Because when he was a little baby, he couldn't learn Torah?
Yeah, Ephraim was older.
He started a little bit later. Okay. But they both had 17 years with Yaakov. Okay. Now, he was a Ben Zikunim, Yosef. Right? Ramban says, what's Ben Zikunim means? Means a person gets older. They keep one of their kids around all the time to help them out. Right? And he spent all the time with them. See, the brothers were rowing Bishchem, and Yosef was hanging out with Yaakov. Okay, because he was, so to speak, he was Yaakov's Yosef. Yaakov loved Yosef the most, and he wanted Yosef around all the time. And Rashi says he gave him over the Torah of Shem Ve'Aver, all the Torah he learned in Shem Ve'Aver. So Yaakov had a special connection with Yosef, and in terms of learning, he gave him over the Chachma that he received from Shem Ve'Aver and the Sisrei Torah. He gave them over to Yosef in those 17 years. Okay. Now, Yaakov messed that up to some degree because of the jealousy that he brought upon Yosef through that special connection he had. He was a little bit too open about it. The Kesonis Possum didn't help the situation, but I don't think it was exclusively the Kesonis Possum or the dreams. It was fundamentally the fact that he had a special relationship with Yosef, which he showed, and they gave over the Torah to Yosef more than to the other brothers. And that bothered everybody else. They created a jealousy. Okay. Yaakov, when he came down to Mitzrayim, had an opportunity to do it again. And he did it again with Ephraim in the right way. Okay? He had Ephraim. He had a special connection with Ephraim. Ephraim was Yosef's son. Okay? Ephraim took a special, and Yaakov had a special connection in terms of learning, according to Yesh Omer, at least. Right? Menashe is busy with his father, and Ephraim is with his Zaidi, learning Torah. And he's learning, presumably, Rashi doesn't say it, but the Torah of Shem Ve'Aver. Yaakov, that's what I want to add a little bit, is that he basically did what he did with Yosef. Yaakov did it again, but he did it in a chachmoe in a way which did not create all the problems. Because you see, you don't find any evidence that Menashe had any kind of resentment towards Ephraim. Even after this tremendous event where in front of Yehoyah's father and his grandfather, Yaakov says the Ephraim's going to be greater than him. You know what I mean? That's exactly the kind of thing that would create jealousy. It's almost remarkable that Yaakov would do something like that again. But it seems that Yaakov had gotten to the point where he was able to control the situation. He was able to understand Ephraim and Menashe in a way and work with them, that he was able to, even though he had a special connection with Ephraim, he didn't make Menashe jealous. Okay? So it's, in a sense, Ephraim wasn't just, he learned more Torah, but he learned Torah with Yaakov, and he was, in a sense, a substitute for Yosef. Yaakov was doing the same thing he did with Yosef. He got to do it again in a better way. And that's what Ephraim was. So it wasn't just one learned more Torah, one was involved in politics. One got to spend those 17 years of Yaakov, with Yaakov, learning the Torah and having that very close connection with Yaakov Avinu that the other one didn't have. That is a formidable experience that completely changed Ephraim that Menashe didn't have access to, because Yosef wanted Menashe around all the time. You know what I mean? Even if Menashe learns, it's one thing to learn, it's another thing to develop that relationship with Yaakov that Yosef had when he was younger, and look what Yosef became. And Ephraim was able to get that also. And that was simply not available to Menashe because he was the Bechor, and Yosef loved him very much. Okay, and he wanted Menashe around. Menashe was very competent, he was a great person, and Yosef wanted him around, and Menashe wanted to be around. But as a result of that, he lost out on this opportunity of learning with Yaakov that Ephraim took advantage of. And it wasn't just learning, it was a certain relationship with the Gadol Ador that could not be replicated. Okay, Yosef is, and Yaakov are not, right?
Where were the other great kids?
What?
Where were the other great kids?
You mean the other Shvatim? I guess Yaakov didn't love him as much. he loved Ephraim.
The 50 or 60.
I guess. I was going to say, it seems like, I don't know, maybe I'm sure Yaakov learned with them, but it seems like, that's what I'm saying. It seems to me like Ephraim had a special place in Yaakov's heart. Because it was Yosef, it was Rachel and Yosef, and now Yosef, of Yosef, he loved Ephraim. He had a special relationship with Ephraim, more so than the others. But I just want to, it seems like he was able to do it in a way which did not provoke the jealousy of everybody else. How, I don't know why, I don't know how exactly. It seems like he's doing the exact same thing again, but you do not see that same reaction. You don't see Menashe becoming jealous, you don't see all the other brothers becoming jealous. You know,
all the other cousins.
Right. Right, exactly. So I don't know exactly what he did, but it seems like he learned from his mistake and he was able to have that enjoyment of a special relationship with somebody in terms of Torah and learning with him and really raising Ephraim to a different level. Yeshua ben Nun came from him. Without really destroying Ephraim by making everybody jealous of him. He was basically doing the same with Yosef, but in a healthy way. Okay, and there's something good about the idea of having a unique relationship with an individual. You can't have a unique relationship with everybody. I don't think that's, I don't think that's really possible. He has, 70 kids or whatever, for grandkids, great kids, whatever it is. You can't have a unique relationship with everybody. If you try to have a unique relationship with everybody, you end up watering down your relationship with everybody, in a sense. There is value to having a good, healthy relationship with all 70 of his Yotzei Yerecho. But on the other hand, there's also value to having a unique, special relationship with one or two people that enables that person to be greater. Do you know? It's you want to have both. You don't want to only have with one person. That's too much. You want to have with, on the other hand, you don't want to love everybody the same. Because then you spend the same amount of time with everybody. Everybody becomes, mediocre. There's a value to developing that unique relationship and learning with a particular person, one particular grandkid or kid, that enables him to become really excelled, become a real gadol. Okay, and that's what he did with Ephraim. He tried to do it with Yosef, somehow that backfired, didn't work out, but with Ephraim he was successful.
So what changed?
I don't know. I don't have any more information. As is, I'm making up a little bit, so...
Based on the conclusion.
I'm just saying it just seems like he didn't provoke that kind of reaction. I don't know what he did differently. I don't know what he did differently. Okay, that's just the first thought. Nothing, not too big a chiddush. Okay. Now I just want to go to Menashe's offspring. So Menashe's offspring, Rashi says, is Gidon. Okay. So let us take a look at Gidon. And it's basically... Let's see. So it's the.
So what is the offspring of the person is a barometer of how great they are?
It seems like that's the Torah's theory, that the perfection of the progenitor ultimately leads in some way to the perfection of his offspring. Okay, now there's different mechanisms for how that could be brought about. The simplest way to understand it is just simply basic psychological.
And Levi didn't learn with Jacob, well, the same way, or his kids.
Why are you bringing up Levi?
Because Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron and Miriam were much greater than, Moshe was greater than Yehoshua.
Right. Therefore, what? You're asking about Levi? That's my shiur on Sunday, is about Levi. Shimon and Levi. Yeah. We'll take that up on Sunday. Yeah. Shimon and Levi. Okay. Yeah, sort of different. Wait for Sunday.
Really like the
brothers. This is for my Friday night. I'm speaking Friday night. I want to speak about this stuff. Okay. So we'll do
You're
this.
Speaking Friday night about this stuff?
About this, yeah. By Gidon and Menashe. This. So hopefully this comes out good so that it's Masudah for the.
Alright. They'll come up with any Chidushim.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll give you a shout out. Yeah. Okay, good. Okay. So Gidon, it's basically from Perek Vav to Perek Tes, more or less. So after the war, the miraculous war with Midjan. Okay, so we're just going to look through, 10, 15 psukim at the end. Very simple psukim. Perek Ches, Pasuk Chav Beis. Okay, just to get into the story a little bit. Okay, so this miraculous war with Midjan. He kills all the bad guys. Okay? Okay. So after Gidon wins the victory, kills all the heads of the Midjanim, 135,000 people, saves Bnei Israel, Vayomer Ish Yisrael Gidon, Mishal Banu, Gam Ata, Gam Bincha, Gam Ben Benecha, Ki Hashatan Miyad Midjan. So you should rule over us, a dynasty, you, your kids, your grandkids, forever. Okay? Be a ruler over us. Vayomer Lehem Gidon, Elohim Shal Ani Bachem. I'm not going to rule over you. V'lo Yimshal B'ni Bachem, not my son. Hashem Yimshal Bachem. Hashem is going to rule over you. Vayomer Lehem Gidon, Eshalim Kem Shela. Let me ask one thing from you. T'nu li ish nezim shalalo, kinizme zav lehem kishmelim. So, problem why it says Yishmelim, they're Mejanim, I don't know. But he says, let me give you, take the nose rings. Okay? The more chashav people from Midjan. So they had nose rings, and he took all the nose rings. He asked for the nose rings that they captured from the spoils of war, from all the enemies. Vayomru nason titein. Of course, we'll give it to you. Vayifusi says simla vayishlichu shama ish nezim shlalo. They threw that in each basically a big bag, and they gave him each one took the nose rings that they had as part of their spoils of war. And they gave it to Gidon. Okay, and next pasuk is it was a very large amount. It was 1,700 dinari zahav. Okay. Chav Zayin is the critical pasuk. Vayas also Gidon la ephod. So Gidon turned it into an ephod, right? These nose rings. An ephod is it's like a Kohen Gadol has like an ephod. It's like an apron type of, it's some sort of garment that somebody wears. It's not entirely clear if it's this like huge metal ceremonial ephod just to like look at, or if somehow it's like not as much as it seems and he actually made an ephod that he actually wears. I don't know. Okay, like simple shot is it was like a big ceremonial ephod, but I think it means that he probably wore it. I don't know. But Yahtzee goes to Be'iro. The fact that he says he stood it maybe it means that it really was ceremonial. Okay, let's learn the ceremonial. Makes an ephod. Yahtzee goes to Be'iro Be'afra, and he has this ephod, this metal ephod garment or whatever it is, in Afra. Vayiznu koyso achar of sham. And all of Klai Yisrael followed after it there. They were Vayiznu. Rashi, Le'achar Misas Gidon. After Gidon died, Vayila Gidon Beis Mokesh. And it became a trap, a snare for Gidon's whole household.
Wait, I'm so confused. Why?
Well, he made this ephod. Why did he make this ephod? Rashi says like this. Leo Zikarna Teshua Gidola. Liros Kama Yechelam Kaved Shebenizme Chashiveyam Hayikolzav Hazeh. So you look at this ephod, you see, wow, that's how many the chashiv ones, right? Only the chashiv ones had the nose rings. Right. Okay, and of the chashiv ones, you look how many nose rings there were that he was able to make an ephod this big with this much metal and gold in it. And Gidon destroyed an army of Midian that much. So it's like evidence for the miracle. It's a reminder of the miracle, and it's an evidence for just how great the army was that Gidon destroyed.
Right.
So Shavuot Hashem.
Yeah, to remember it's Pirsumei Nisa, to remember the miracle of the Nisa of destroying Midian. So he made this ephod out of metal. And you remember the zikaron for the Chuas Hashem, the God's salvation, of destroying this huge army in front of Gidon and his 300 people.
Right. And what happened after he died?
But after he died, Klai Yisrael started worshiping it. They strayed after it. It became like an avodah zara. And it became like a mokesh and ensnared his entire household. Uh-huh. Okay. Okay. Now,
And what? The towers? It's what caused the victory?
No, what? What caused the victory? No, the cause of victory is God's miracle. This he made afterwards from the nose rings.
I understand. And what they do?
How they worship it?
Yeah.
I don't know. Ramban in, maybe it's Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Yates and Bracious, he talks that like it became like the Trophim by Lavan. So maybe it became like some superstitious thing. They started using it to predict the future. They started asking questions of it, like you do the Urim Vatumim, the Kohen Gadol. It became like involved in a superstitious practice. And it became involved in Avodah Zarah. This Eifo that Gideon made ultimately for Zikaron of the Nes ended up becoming a source of Avodah Zarah for Bnei Yisrael after he died.
I mean, yeah, I mean, the relationship with the Afon and the war was the fact that it was all miracles.
Right.
So, I mean, like, it would make sense once he died that he wasn't able to properly educate them on it.
After he died.
Or stabilize their... Yeah.
Right,
they just lost that, you know, the guidance and the representation, the true representation of the apron.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right, we're gonna try to understand a little better, but yeah, okay. Pasuk Chaf Tes, Vayelech Yerubal ben Yoash veYishevei. So it's Yerubal, another name for Gidon is Yerubal. We're gonna come to that. But he had two names, Gidon and Yerubal, and he went back to his house. Okay, so I missed the pasuk. Vayichana Midyan lifnei bnei Yisrael velo yasufu lases rosham. Midyan is humbled. Vatishkad aretz arbaim shanim megidon. So 40 years of total peace. Right, pasuk chav tes. Gidon go back to his house. Ule gidon hayishiv and banim. He has 70 sons. Yotzi yerecho kinashim rabos hayol. Many wives. 70 sons. Upilag sho asher b'shchem yaldolo gam hi bein. His pilegesh was from Shchem. His concubine, one son. V'yasim eshmo avimelech. His one son from the pilegesh is Avimelech. Okay, he'll be critical in the next parak, which we're not going to do, but I'll tell you about it maybe. Vayamas Gidon ben Yoash b'seva tova. So Gidon dies in b'seva tova, in a ripe old age. Vaykaver b'kever Yoash aviv b'afra avi Azri. Okay, now the Medrash in Medrash Rabbah, I think it's Memdalad Chaf. Okay, so it says, Amar Shlakish, Shloshim shenem behem seva tova. Three people in Tanakh, it says seva tova. Okay. Avraham, it says, right, Avram and David. Avram hayeshavalo, David shavalo. Avram, it was fitting for him, he deserved it. David shavalo, he deserved it. Tzadikim. Gidon lo shavalo. Gidon, it wasn't really appropriate for him. Lama, why was it not appropriate for Gidon the Seva Tova? Right, living to a ripe old age, 40 years of peace, he's the hero, 70 sons, many wives, and wealthy, all right? Great life, he had the greatest, most peaceful, unbelievable existence. Right? Why? Lama vayas osa Gidon leifod lavodas kachavim. So why did he deserve it? Because he basically made an avodah zara. Right? So therefore, it wasn't really shavalo. He didn't really deserve the seva tova, because he made this ephod, which ended up becoming the trap for his whole household and caused Bnei Yisrael to worship avodah zara. So the question is, well, if he didn't deserve it, why did he get it? Right? Not every, very few people have this ultimate. The end of their life is so amazing. David, Avram had the unbelievable end of their life. Avram, you know, but why Gidon doesn't really, it wasn't Shavalo. Why did it happen? Why was he Zocha to save a Tova if he didn't really deserve it? Yeah.
Should he have foreseen this happening?
It seems.
That he would stay after
me? Right, it seems like he should have foreseen it. Yeah, right, correct. Why should he have foreseen it?
Yeah. I mean, there are other monuments. It's not right.
What?
By the Yardin. It's not the first monument that was made.
No. We'll take it up a little bit. But I mean, I'm not. Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, we'll see if we can develop a little bit. But I mean, it's not too much to say. It seems to me that's the issue. But I'll come to it.
Okay.
Okay. Vayhi. Kasher Meis Gidon, after Gidon died, Vayishuv Bnei Yisrael, Vayiznu Achrei Baalim. So after Gidon dies, so Bnei Yisrael continues to worship the Baalim, Vayisimulam Baal Bris Elohim. He made Baal Bris a god for them. Right before Gidon, they worship the Baal. After Gidon dies, they go back to worshiping the Baal. Below Zachar b'nei Yisrael, Hashem Elokeihem. Hamatil sam yad kol yaveihem yisaviv. They forgot about Hashem. They go back to Avodah Zarah. Velo asu chesed im beis Yerubal Gidon. They didn't do kindness with the household of Yerubal Gidon, same person. Kechol tov asher asim Yisrael. All the goodness he did to b'nei Yisrael. He saved them. He put his life on the line for them. He gave them peace for 40 years. He didn't rule over them. He let them, Hashem should rule over them. And they didn't do chesed to him after he died. Why? What happened? Shehar goes banav k'mosh kasav enyam. The very next parak, what happens is Avimelech, the son of the Pilagesh, gets together with Shechem, the people of Shechem, and he says, look, Gidon has 70 sons, and do you really want 70 people ruling over you? Let me rule over you. Hire some mercenaries. And I'll be the one person ruling over you, and I'm your relative. I'm related to you through his mother, the Pilagesh, was related to his part of Shechem. So he ends up hiring mercenaries. They kill all of Gidon's 70 sons in one day, on one rock. They slaughter all 70 kids, and Avimelech ends up ruling Klal Yisrael for 3 years. Okay? Until eventually, you know, Anshei Shechem kind of rebel against him. He burns them all alive in the forest, and then he gets killed by a woman dropping a rock on his head, and then gets stabbed by his nar holding the sword, so he's not killed by a woman. It's a beautiful story, Perek Tes. Fascinating, okay? But ultimately, Klal Yisrael did not do the chesed to Yerubal that he did to them, because he ended up killing 70 of all his sons in one day, slaughtering all of his sons. Totally turning on him. Lo zachor es chesed. Okay? And the question really is like we said, why were they not... Why does the Medrash say that he didn't deserve the Seva Tova? Okay. We understand why he didn't deserve it, because he made the Avodah Zarah. The question is, if he didn't deserve it, why did he get it?
He didn't make the Avodah Zarah. He made it something that was
He made something to remember the Zikaron, Leo Zikaron, Atashua, Gedola, Liros, Kama, Yechelam, Kaveh, Benizme, Chashiveim, right, to remember the nes that God did, and ultimately that became, after he died, an Avodah Zarah.
He didn't make it.
So. He did not make an Avodah Zarah. The Medrash attributes it to, like, that he made an Avodah Zarah. But you're right, he did not make an Avodah Zarah. He did not make an Avodah Zarah. But he made the Avodah Zarah. It's just, he didn't make it as an Avodah Zarah, and he made something that ultimately became an Avodah Zarah. Yeah, and I think it's like...
That's a defect.
Yeah, it's a defect. Correct, to the effect. I mean, the defect seems to be like what Yaakov was saying before, that that he should have had the foresight that he should have had the foresight. Look, I read you one more medrash, and then maybe we'll develop the point. The other medrash is it's in Rus Aleph Beis. Okay, it says what does it mean that it's passing a share that their mother was Mizana, right, referring to Klal Yisrael? After Shasari Meinu Zona, he says, is it possible that Shasari Meinu was a Zona? How could he be saying that the mother of Klal Yisrael was Mizana? Amar lo, right, this is Rabbi Bezalel says, Chas v'shalom, ela emesai divrei Torah mizbazin b'fnei am aretz, b'shasha b'aleim mivazin osam. So when is divrei Torah? You have to go into look at the pasuk how he drew his Dorish Iman as like Uma, but whatever. So when is the divrei Torah mizbaza? When do the Am Aretz degrade the Torah? When the Bailam of Torah, Tamid the Chachamim, are mivazet. Okay, Aser of Dim Rav Yaakov Bar. When Tamid Chachamim mivazet the divrei Torah, then the Am Aretz is mivazet the divrei Torah. But what does it mean? It's going to explain. Okay. Okay, Aser of Yaakov Barvdimi v'Avdei Shmuel, Amos had divrei Torah nasin kizonos b'fnei amaretz. When they look like degraded, like zonos, harlots, b'fnei amaretz, b'shash b'aleim mevazenosam. When the bialim of Torah mevazet, Rabbi Yonasan Yochanan amaisi la mehacha. He derives it from here, pasuk in Koheles, the chachmas hamiskin bezuya, and the chachma of the poor person is bezuya, is degraded. Okay, the chachma of a poor person is looked down upon. Okay. Just because Rabbi Akiva was very poor in the beginning of his life, was it really bezuya and degraded and bazoi? Nobody looked and respected it. It's not true. Right? It can't be that's what the pasuk means, that just because a person's poor, nobody's going to respect his Torah. It's not true. Ela mahu miskin, Mishu bazoi bidvarav. Somebody who's like degrading in his words. Kigon zakin yoshev dorish. Chacham sits in his dorish. Lo sata mishpat. Don't corrupt justice. V'humata mishpat. He himself corrupts justice. Lo saka panim. Don't recognize people. Don't favor individuals in mishpat. V'humaka panim. Lo sikach shochad. Don't kick a bride. V'uloka shochad. He takes bribes. Kol aman v'yasim lo sanun. Don't oppress the widow and the orphan. V'humana osam. And he oppresses them. Shimshon halachachar enav. Shimshon followed after his eyes. Right, he wanted to take a woman. Right, Dalia shenemer osa kachli kihi yasha beinai. He followed what he's a pretty girl. Gidon avod avodas kachavim. Gidon, I think it means he made an avodah zarah, not he served an avodah zarah. Avod avodas kachavim shenemer vayas osa gidon leifod. Have a shein lecha miskin gadol mizeh. Okay, you don't have anything more miskin, poor, like poor in his words. Mevaza this, the greater than this, than Shimshon and Gidon, who are the Gidoli Ador, the Sheshoftim of the door, and look how they're acting. So it's a hypocrisy when you have somebody who's a Gadol Ador, and he's trying to teach the people a certain way of life, and then he goes himself and he does something that creates an impression of hypocrisy in the eyes of people, and people look down upon the whole Torah. So I think what it's making, he made an avodah zarah, means Gidon really stood for the destruction of avodah zarah. Right? Why was he called Yerubal? So this is in Shoftim Vav, Pasuk Lamed Beis. I'll tell you the story outside. But basically, it's the introductory story to who Gidon is. God tells Gidon through a malach.
What's the Pasuk?
Lan Bez is the one I'm going to get to, but I'm just going to tell the backstory of it. It's basically God tells Gidon to destroy the Mizbeach of the Baal, cut down the Asherah, and to destroy their Mizbeach. And when the people of his town find out about it, of Ophra, they want to kill him. And Gidon's father, Yoash, says to them, what do you have to defend the Baal for? If the Baal's really a god, he'll kill Baal. Right, that's a Pasuk. Pasuk Lamed Parvav Shoftim Pasuk Lamed Vayomer Anshe Yer Al Yoash Hotzi Espincha Vayamos Kinotat Etz Mizbach Habal Vechikaras Asher Asher Alav. Right, take out your son, we're going to kill him, very much like of Nimrod, right? Nimrod and Avram and Terach, we're going to kill him. He destroyed the Baal's Mizbeach, and he destroyed, cut down the Asherah, the Avodah Zarah tree. We're going to kill him. Vayomer Yoash L'chol Asheram Du Alav Ha'atim Terivun L'Baal. You're going to fight for Baal. Imatim Toshinosa, you're going to do salvation for Baal. Asher Yarivlo, you must have Boker. Whoever fought with the Baal, he'll die by morning. Im Elohim hu Yarivlo kinatas mizbecho. If he Baal's a god, then he could fight on his own. He doesn't need your help. He'll destroy the person who destroyed his mizbech. Baal's a god. Vayikrelo bayamahu Yerubal emor. And they called him. He called him on that day. Yerubal saying, Yariv bo Baal kinatas mizbecho. Let Baal, you know, fight with him, contend with him. Rashi, Yarivo beGidon. The Baal should fight against Gidon because Gidon destroyed Baal's Mizbeach. So Gidon's name was Yerubal after that, right? The Navi goes back and forth between Gidon and Yerubal because he stood for the destruction of Avodah Zarah, right? Yarivo Baal. Baal should get Gidon for destroying the Mizbeach, right? Based on God's command. And of course, it didn't happen, right? But Yerubal and Gidon was, he stood for the destruction of Avodah Zarah, and then ultimately
he created
Avodah Zarah. Now, in it, true, like in his time, he was making this Avodah Zarah, not the Avodah Zarah. He made the Ephod as a Zikaron for the Nes. Okay, but what he lacked is the sensitivity to the Avodah Zarah. You're making this. This beautiful metal, golden, physical object that it's an aphode. It partakes of the mystical things that people ask it questions. It's that kind of an object. Ramban describes them voracious, right? Perek Lamed Aleph. And it's true. He had something else in mind, but it's if you have sensitivity to the psychology of Avodah Zarah, you just realize this is not a good idea. It's just not a good idea. You're setting up your family. You're setting up all of Klal Yisrael. For like to you know the type of Avodah Zarah. You're like, you should be aware of it, Gidon. How could you do this to B'nai Yisrael? How could you do this to your family to be completely insensitive to the taiva, the Yitzharva, the Zara, and what it's going to do to this Ephod. Okay? He meant it in the greatest idea. But by setting this up, what he did was he totally undermined even to the people who perceived it. It undermined his stature in their eyes and his message of being anti-Avodah Zarah by the fact that he would make something which even to them smacked of Avodah Zarah. Now, it's true when he was alive, nothing happened. It was fine. But once he died, it basically, you lose him. They have 70 kids. I don't know who they put the ephod on or whatever it is. It basically became a source of Avodah Zarah either for all of Klai Yisrael and for his household. And he's criticized for lacking the foresight, like you said, lacking the foresight and sensitivity, and undermining the whole message he stood for by the fact that he would dare to make something like this. You know what I mean? You don't find people in Tanakh doing things like this for good reason, because it's a bad idea. It's a bad idea to take an object.
Nachash and Achoshes.
Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeah, I mean, you're right. That was by the. That's true. That is something similar.
But didn't
Chizkiah? No, Chizkiah had to hide it away.
Somebody just rushed away.
Chizkiyahu hid it away because it became like an Avodah Zarah also. Right? They were saying it's true.
But it was Moshe. Didn't Hashem tell me?
Yeah, Hashem told Moshe going to do it. Exactly. I mean, that's obviously the major difference, but it is true. That is something similar.
Well, no, but it shows you that the only way you can do it is if God tells you.
If God tells you to do it. Yeah, that's for sure. That's also true. That's for sure the case.
Like you need like a special hat.
You need a matir. It is remarkable that God told him to do that, though. That is remarkable. But you see what happened to it. It had to be hidden away. It is the same kind of phenomenon.
See, even God couldn't...
Even God couldn't make a metal idol that wouldn't be worshipped. Yeah, it's true. Okay, so I mean that's basically what Chazal criticizing him for. Okay, and it's so you know why did okay? Let me say one more thing. Why, I thought about it this week, why is there anything you could see from Menashe about Menashe led to this mistake of Gidon? There's any connection. I just don't know enough about Menashe. There's like not that much, I haven't come across that much about him. I didn't do really extensive research. I didn't really know where to look. So maybe later at some point in your life you'll come across it. There seems to be, I would think, there'd be a connection between Menashe. I don't want to say because Menashe didn't learn from Yaakov, he lacked a certain sensitivity in terms of the depth of Torah and to psychology and to human insight that Ephraim had that Menashe didn't, and you see what Menashe did and what Gidon ended up doing ultimately. I don't want to say that because Yosef was really the master psychologist, right? Throughout the Torah, he's almost the paradigm of psychology. And Menashe being out with Yosef, arguably that would be the one strong suit he would have, his insights into psychology. But, I don't know, maybe it's possible through Ephraim, through learning, with Yaakov, maybe there's a connection there, but it's fairly weak and it doesn't seem to me to be worthwhile. It just seems to me that Menashe is not on the level of Ephraim, and therefore you see that the Menashe's, the gadol that comes from Menashe is just not on the level of the gadol that comes from Ephraim. But I don't know if you could point to any particular thing you'd be nice to, but I don't see anything directly. Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, it's also hard to say that he didn't really, learn. I mean, he was under Yosef's
house. Yeah, Yosef. I'm sure he's learning. That's my point. Yeah, I'm sure he's learning all the time. Correct. I'm sure he's learning all the time. He just didn't have that relationship with Yaakov. That was unique. That was a unique opportunity.
It just seems like there's, from what I'm understanding from, a friend of Menashe, it's not like Menashe did something wrong or anything. It's
right.
Just Ephraim just had a benefit.
Right.
He just had a plus one,
Right.
An extra benefit.
Yeah, right. Correct. You don't see Menashe being criticized for any type of chait anywhere. Correct. I know.
Why can't you just isolate Gidon as himself?
It's like the first man Daman Rashi. Yeah. The person is responsible for their own mistakes. They have Bechira. Okay.
Maybe that's a pshat.
Yeah. It could be.
Maybe that's why.
Okay, yeah, right. I just want to answer why...
Yaakov has a question.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know if you can answer this, but aren't the Yeravim and Achav worse than you?
Oh, Ephraim's bad guys?
Yeah. Sounds like he's worse than... His guys are worse than Asher's.
The bad guys. The bad guys are worse. His bad guys are worse?
Yeah. Well, what happened?
Yehu's pretty bad, but Yeruvim usually can be as the paradigm of bad. Menashe's also really bad. What did you say? Who's it? Yeruvim and who else? Yeruvim and who else?
Yeruvim and Achav.
Achav, okay, he's bad.
Yes, he's pretty bad.
That's from Ephraim also.
Yeah.
And Yehu's from Menashe.
Yehu Abanov.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
With the other all from Menashe?
No, no, no. Yeruvim and Achav are from Ephraim, and Yehu's from Menashe.
We need that first man down.
Yeah, first man down.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. That's the point.
Everyone's like that.
That's the point. The connection between the two parts of this year is not. It's not even 10. I'm not making it. Okay, I'm calling it more or less two unrelated shears. No, I'm saying, look, I have one idea about Menashe and another idea about Gidon. Let me get to the main idea about Gidon now. But what the connection between the two, I don't know. Maybe there is a connection, but it's not really in my shear. Okay, they're really thinking about it as two separate shears. I'm just, you know, Parshas Vayechi dealing with Menashe. I want to deal with his offspring, Gidon. Also, I'm learning this through my daughter, Rebecca. That's why Gidon, so I figure give it over anyway, you know. Okay, now the two questions. One is the Seva Tova question. Let's come back to that in a second. And the other one is so why did Bnei Yisrael not remember the chesed, the kindness that he did? Right? Why did they kill 70 of his sons? It's pretty brutal. He did so much Tova for them, and then they do this to him? It's crazy.
They're corrupted.
Yeah, they're corrupt. Yeah, go ahead.
Didn't Avi Melech do that?
Did what?
Didn't Avi Melech kill the 70 sons?
Yes, but the Pasuk puts it on Bnei Yisrael, not just it's Anshei Shechem also. It's Anshei Shechem. He hired Anshei Shechem. You know? So it's not just Avi Melech. Crazy Avi Melech. Bad guy. Really wacky guy.
So, well, why can't you say that Bnei Yisrael, they were already doing a bizarre at the time?
Yes.
And their whole, I guess their whole idea of Gidon was distorted.
Yeah, okay, good. I just want to say a little more than that, but something like that. Maybe.
Okay, you don't have to say something like that with your expression. It just implies that it's nothing like that.
No, it's something like that. I mean, like, it's something like that.
Boy?
It's something like that. Okay. Let me say like this. I'll start with the Seva Tova thing, then we'll come to...
Boy, right, Ariel?
You can take it. Ariel can take it.
I can take it, yeah.
I can take it. Okay, fine. Let's
say
like this.
Say it.
Let's take the Seva Tova problem first. Okay? Why should it be Avram has Seva Tova, David has Seva Tova, Gidon has Seva Tova, but Avram and David deserve it, Shavalahem, and Gidon it's not Shavalah. So why did he get it? Why did he get Seva Tova? And he has this unbelievable life, 40 years, total peace. He's victorious over Midian miraculously. Nobody's harmed. 70 kids. Everything's like the greatest life possible. Why? Why do you get it? Okay. So like this. Is Gidon was not, it seems to me Gidon was not on the level of Yoshua ben Nun. Okay, let's say it that way. Say it a nice way. In terms of his intrinsic internal perfection, he wasn't on the level of Yehoshua. Okay? Obviously, he's a shofet, but he's not in something. He's certainly perfected, but his perfection in his own right did not merit for him to be zocha to have the nes and to really have this seva tova. And that's where Rosh Lakish is pointing to. The seva, the kind of life that he had and everything that he went through, he didn't deserve it intrinsically based on his own perfection. Why did he deserve it? What happened? It's because of the story of Yerubal, when he became Yerubal. Because what happened is he went through the Tziyoy of Hashem, right, so the very initiating, his introductory story. He was told to destroy the Avodah Zarah, to destroy the Mizbeach of the Baal, and to cut down the Asherah. And then he did it in a way, he was a little scared, he did it at night, he didn't want to do it in the daytime, okay? You see, he wasn't, okay? And but he ended up doing it, and they found out about it, and they wanted to kill him. And his Gidon's father talked him out of it by making that argument. Is Baal is a god? Let Baal take care of it. He doesn't need you to fight for him. And he says, Yariv Bo Baal, let Baal fight him, take care of him. And that was an acceptable solution to them. Okay? And to the point where he became identified as Yerubal. He became identified as the person who destroyed the Mizbeach of Baal. Kinata says Mizbeach Baal. And that Baal is going to take care of him. Okay? And that became his identity, that when bad things happen to this guy, you're going to know why. It's because Baal's punishing him for destroying his Mizbeach. Okay? So because his whole identity became one of the destroyer of the Mizbeach of Baal and cutting down Baal's Asherah, and that everybody, his name became, and they identified became that Baal is going to take care of this guy. So it became that if he ever got harmed, if he ever got killed, if he dies in a war, everybody's going to say, there you go, Baal took care of him. And if nothing bad happens to Gideon, he has the greatest life. It's the ultimate contradiction to Baal, to show you Baal's not real. This guy destroys Baal's Mizbech, he cuts him as a Sheira. Yarebo Baal, this guy's Yerubal, Baal's going to take care of him. And what happens? He's victorious in the war, 300 men against 135,000. He has 70 kids. He lives the greatest life. Save a Tova, an unbelievable life. It's ultimate Kiddush Hashem. It's the ultimate rejection of Odizara because Yerubal, what happened to Yerubal? What did Baal do against the guy who destroys Mizbech? Absolutely nothing. Not one thing. You cannot point to a better life than what Gideon had. And that was the, why does he zocha to it? Not because he intrinsically deserved it, his own perfection, but because he became associated as the one who destroyed the Mizbech of Baal. And if anything bad ever happened to him, it would be taken as a raya by the Odev of the Zara that Baal is getting him back. And therefore, the Hashkacha saw fit that nothing bad ever happened to him. Just like by Avraham. In fact, everything, Avraham becomes the progenitor of, the beginning of everything goes back to Avraham. David is the Malchus, and by them living Seva Tova, it shows the Hashkacha is endorsing Avraham, and Hashem Berach has Avraham Bakol. Right? So when they have the Seva Tova, it shows that the greatness of them, their own perfection, they merited it intrinsically.
It was the Seva Tova by default, because otherwise it would have come back to Berach.
Right, for the Hodzara. But Gideon didn't deserve it. It wasn't Shavuot. He didn't really deserve it. He made the Hodzara. You see, his perfection was not really. He's not on the level of Avraham and David. Don't be mistaken by the fact that three people have Seva Tova. They say that they must all have said the high level of perfection. David and Avraham, yes, they deserved it. But Gideon, no. Gideon got it because he was Yerubal. Because nothing bad could ever happen to him. Because if anything bad ever happened to him, it would be taken as a raya for Baal. And that became...
Baal would have revenge.
Right, exactly. That was the thing. Baal's going to take revenge on him. At the very end of his life, something bad happened to him. Baal got his revenge at the end.
Baal can't take revenge.
Right. Baal can't take revenge because Baal's not a god. And that's why he became tied up with his having Seva Tova became the ultimate Kiddush Hashem. And if anything bad ever happened to him, be a Chil Hashem. And therefore, the Hashkacha... Not for himself.
Not for himself.
Not for himself, right.
But to show everybody else.
Right, to show everybody else that Baal's nothing for Kiddush Hashem.
That's a nice idea.
Right. So that's the... It's sometimes a person can have bizocha to an unbelievable hashkacha, not because... It's a theme I'm trying to develop in the past few shir, maybe you noticed. Not because of their own perfection, but simply because they become tied and associated with Kiddush Hashem. Okay, and that was Yerubal. Okay.
Chai Yisrael, all of Chai Yisrael got Nevuah.
By Har Sinai or?
By Har Sinai.
Or Yam Suf, okay. Is that of?
Oh, no, yeah, by Yam Suf.
Yam Suf, okay. Is that Kiev
and Vail? They didn't. And by
Har Sinai too? Har-Sinai. Yeah, both places.
So they didn't deserve it.
Okay, so maybe a different thing.
Why is that a different thing?
I don't know. It might be a different thing.
Why?
I don't know. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead. Okay. Okay, so.
They were in the right place at the right time?
Yes. They were in the right place at the right time, that's for sure. Yeah, halal of David Zara, halal of David Zara, right, for sure. Maybe it's the same thing. Okay, now what happens?
I can take it.
Okay, so what happened afterwards is that after Gideon basically brought about his own demise, okay? So during his lifetime, nothing bad could happen to it. God protected himself from him, Gideon from himself. But after Gideon dies, and basically he became the source of Odeh Zarah, because of what he did, the fact, the destruction of his household, it became tied not to Gideon himself, it became tied to the Avodah Zarah. Once, basically, Gideon's household became associated with Avodah Zarah, and Gideon became viewed in people's mind not as the destroyer of the Mizbeach, but the source of Avodah Zarah, the Hashkacha no longer protected him, no longer protected his household, that nothing bad should happen to his household, because instead of Gideon being associated with Yerubal, it became associated with the Ephod. That became the Vayizni B'nai Yisrael Acharov that everybody followed afterwards. Once his household became associated with the Zara, there's no longer any Hashkacha to protect him. And it was, in one day, his entire family was wiped out. Why did Klal Yisrael do that? I think simple is that Gideon, the individual, was associated to rejection of Odeh Zarah. Okay? His household no longer. But Gideon the individual is once Klai Yisrael started following Avodah Zarah because of the ephod that he made, then there becomes a disconnect between remembering the good that Gideon did to you and where you are now. Gideon stood for rejection of Avodah Zarah. Now, once everybody's worshiping Avodah Zarah, you don't feel any identification with Gideon. Adarabba, the people who felt identification with Gideon were people who rejected Avodah Zarah. Now, the new generation, who's all following Avodah Zarah, they feel the opposite. They feel no identification with Gideon, and they no longer feel a need to do chesed to him and his family because they no longer reject Avodah Zarah. The other, the opposite, they feel that they want to distance themselves from Gideon, and they no longer feel that we have to do kindness to his family. Okay, so I say, is this Avodah Zarah did two things. Into the eyes of the people, it made the people reject Gideon because they wanted to distance themselves from the person who was against Avodah Zarah, because now they're all worshiping Avodah Zarah. And then in terms of the Ashkacha, his whole family became associated with Avodah Zarah. Something bad happening to his family was no longer viewed, would no longer be viewed as Achil Hashem. It became viewed as the Mishpat for Avodah Zarah. Okay, so in a sense, contrary things. Gideon the person, made his point a little clear, is that Gideon the person was against Avodah Zarah. People of the next generation no longer identified with him as their hero, because he stood for everything, he was against everything that they now did. Chesed is based on identification. So although they didn't remember him, they didn't want to do chesed to him like he did to them, because he stood for everything that they were, he was against everything that they embrace now. Okay.
But what about, you know, with like the other two people that you mentioned, the world, I mean, how, why did they change? Why did they shift to
Avodah Zarah?
Opposed to the other people.
I'm saying, opposed to which other people?
And didn't you say that there were two other, like Avram?
Avram and David. They had Seva Tova.
Yeah.
But they, okay, what about that?
So my question is, how come in the next generation they didn't shift to like Avodah Zarah and they didn't feel disassociated?
Because Gideon became viewed as a hypocrite. Because he, on the one hand, he was against the Avodah Zarah. On the other hand, he made this ephod that's a superstitious entity.
But because of the ephod,
I mean, look, the ephod, it tarnished his opinion. I think there's an ambivalence, basically. I'm trying to take two things. One is I'm trying to say that Gideon was, on the one hand, the ultimate fighter against the Avodah Zarah. But on the other hand, and that was what he stood for during his lifetime. But on the other hand, they saw that he made the Avodah Zarah, so he became viewed as a hypocrite. He's telling them not to worship Avodah Zarah, he's the one who made it. So on the one hand, they have feelings of resentment towards him, because they're all worshiping Avodah Zarah, and he's the one who's preaching to them against Avodah Zarah, destroying the Mizbech HaBaal, and cutting down the Asherah. So there's an animosity towards him from the later generation when they become of the Avodah Zarah. On the other hand, there's this idea of putting him down, being mevazeh him, because he's a big hypocrite. He's against Avodah Zarah? Yeah, but he just made this ephod that clearly is a superstitious entity that's designed to become a big Avodah Zarah. So they were mevazeh him. They looked at him as a hypocrite. They didn't take him seriously. The next generation stopped taking him seriously. And then there was an undercurrent of animosity, I think, towards him that manifests itself in slaughtering his entire family. Okay? And ultimately, the Ashkacha that existed during his lifetime did not continue after he died, either because it doesn't make sense that Baal's going to get back his kids. That's one possibility. Or just simply is that once his family became associated with Avodah Zarah, then the Ashkacha is no longer going to... The Ashkacha is Ashkacha against Avodah Zarah, but it's not going to protect a family that's involved in Avodah Zarah. There's two possibilities, okay? Either one, right? Two possibilities. But that does seem... It seems to me that if you look through Gideon, it's... He has a measure of perfection, but there's certainly an element that's in throughout the psukim that he's like lacking. He's like you know, by the story with the Giza, he's lacking emunah to some degree. He needs to be proven to him, and he ultimately his big chait is that he lacked the foresight of realizing you make this mystical object that's going to end up being it's a bad idea to make some object that could easily be distorted and made into an Avodah Zarah in the next generation. And why was he so had the greatest life and most success? Ultimately, because he was Yerubal, because he became associated as the one that Baal's going to get back, and the Shkacha saw fit to give him the greatest life just so nobody would ever say that Baal got him back. Okay.